The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Been talking a lot of postseason action here in recent days and weeks. Here on the Michigan Insider for Michigan teams, going back to the Michigan women's gymnastics team winning the national championship, of course. Michigan men's lacrosse, they advanced in the tournament, beating Ohio State before falling to Maryland and seeing their season end. Michigan field hockey in contention. Ira still alive, still fighting to maybe bring home a championship. Also in postseason action, Michigan women's golf heads to Columbus, 14th NCAA regional appearance. Joining us to talk about that, it is our pleasure to have on for the first time. It's been a while, Mr. Weintraub, since we had Jan Dowling on. Jan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sam and Ira. Happy to be here.
Yeah, glad that you can help us out, give us some feedback, some reflections on a season that obviously across the board, sports everywhere face their fair share of challenges. And yet you have overcome many of those challenges to have a really successful season. So let's just start there about how challenging this season was compared to seasons in the past where you didn't have to deal with COVID. Kind of reflect upon that and how your athletes were able to fight through and have such a successful run this year.
Yeah, I mean, we've been fortunate where throughout most of this pandemic, depending where you are in the country or the globe, you've been able to continue playing golf, maybe not competing, but you've still been able to play just because we have this very naturally socially distant sport. So, it's been trying, right? Like, there's just so many rules and regulations that change and what happens if someone has a contact trace and what happens if someone has a false positive and what happens if someone has a positive. There's just so many unknowns and they're constantly changing. And, you know, our health and wellness staff was absolutely incredible to get us to this point. And I think when we finally, you know, we didn't compete in the fall, which we normally do, mm-hmm. normally play 4 or 5 tournaments in the fall. So that was pretty weird, right? But our team, I'm so proud of our team. We really made the most of it. We played a lot of golf. We were able to develop as players when we could be outside, which never happens at Michigan. Usually, like, the developmental phase of our season, which is November, December, January, February, we're inside. So that was pretty cool as a coaching staff to be outside with our players, doing a lot of work on course, development work with our players. So that was pretty cool. But we did some other stuff too that like really was neat. We did a research project on mastery. That was pretty cool. Just kind of learning a little bit more about what that looks like and how to pursue excellence. And then we had a lot of really difficult conversations about diversity and how we can affect change in our sport, which isn't very diverse. I think we grew a lot in a very trying time, and I think that the team and this generation, just generally speaking, is going to be so well equipped for their future. They've learned to adapt in some trying times, and they've learned to have perspective, right? And like when we teed off for the first time in February, we were so excited. We were like, we can't believe we're actually competing for Michigan again. And it was really special. And I think we've been able to take that momentum through most of our spring. So we just feel grateful to be competing and healthy, right? And that's that's been a blast. So
you know, hearing you talk, we're talking to Michigan women's golf coach Jan Dowling here on the Michigan Insider. It's easy to be cynical, just more broadly talking about where we're headed in the world, and then you hear stories from coaches like you. Seeing your athletes sort of respond, not just in their sports, but respond socially to the times and adapt socially to the times as well. And it sort of gives you, it starts to give you more hope Right, gives you more hope for where we're headed. So I appreciate that enlightening us in that way. As you guys got into the season, though, as you said, you didn't have any fall tournaments. So really, without the practice that comes with the fall to sort of hone your craft, had to be some uncertainty about how ready you guys were going to be. And Jan, you guys get into the season, you have a strong regular season, and then you get into the Big Ten tournament, wherever maybe you can take us through, you know, second place finish in the Big Ten tournament. You guys really, really rose to the occasion, so to speak, this year, and culminating in that performance in the Big Ten tournament. Kind of take us through that.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it honestly goes back to last spring, last March. We had two top five finishes and very strong tournaments. Like, we play a very strong tournament schedule. And Tom Weirod, our sport info director, made this point to me. He said, we've been in the top five since March of 2020. So we've finished in the top five at every single tournament. And, you know, that says a lot about what we're trying to accomplish. It says a lot about, you know, the team. And, you know, there's a piece of them that's getting impatient. We've been knocking on the door for a team win, and it's hard. You know, it's not like you're just playing one team. We're playing 15 teams every time we tee it up. So it's hard to win in golf, and particularly in a team event. And, you know, they keep putting themselves in that position to win, and they did that at the Big Ten. I mean, they're ready to win. We're a very mature team. We're not necessarily an old team, but we're a mature. And they keep putting themselves in that position and putting themselves in contention to win and gaining more and more experience. And that second place finish at Big Ten just validates where we stand, not only in the Big Ten, but nationally. I mean, we have, in the Big Ten, women's golf has seven teams advancing to the NCAA championships. And so we're a very strong women's golf conference. And to be competing for a Big Ten championship means you're a top program in the country. So just more and more confidence, more and more experience as we head into postseason. And can't wait for that to happen. We leave Saturday.
Before you sort of break down the format and regionals, how that's going to break down, can you highlight some individual performances this season, you know, athletes that really maybe either maintained a high level of performance or took their games to another level?
Yeah, we have Ashley Lau, who was named first team All Big Ten, and then she actually won her first tournament. And I joke with her, not really, but I implied to her, I'm like, winning's contagious. And so she won at the Indiana Invitational the weekend prior to Big Tens, which was a big deal. She was under par for all 3 days. You know, and she's been a leader for us for most of our spring season. So she's led our team, had many under par rounds, and she's getting very comfortable being at the top of the leaderboard and then finishing the top. She finished sixth at Big Ten. So she's having a great season. She's a junior. She's from Malaysia. Economics major at Michigan, and just a joy to be around. She just loves golf, loves improving. You know, she won 2 weeks ago at Indiana, and when she came back for the first practice, the first question she asked is like, how do I get better? And so she's just been a great positive force for our program. And then we were named Monet Chun, who's a freshman on our team, also Canadian. So pretty cool to have a fellow Canuck on our team, but she was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. And as you guys know, the Big Ten Conference is really strong, and it's the first time since 1996 we've had a Freshman of the Year. So she's been in the top 20 at every single tournament she's played this spring. And like I said earlier, our tournament schedule is a tough one, and to do that it's really impressive because we're playing different conditions and courses all around the country. You know, we were down in Florida and South Carolina and the Midwest, and, you know, those are all different conditions you've got to kind of figure out every time you go down to play a practice round. So she's done a fabulous job.
Gotcha. All right. So regionals are upon us down in Columbus. So take us through that, Jan, the format. How many advance, and is there a comfort level with, you know, being relatively speaking close to home. I mean, does that sort of play into the familiarity and, you know, being close to home? Does that sort of play into, you know, where you guys are mentally heading into this tournament?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's honestly the most exciting tournament in college golf, because it doesn't matter what your seed is. Like, you still have to finish in the top six to advance to finals, right? So everything's whipped. It's a clean slate. And you've got to play well. So there's 18 teams at four different sites. We are at Ohio State, and the top six after 54 holes advance to the finals, which is in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's the format. Mm-hmm. We are so grateful that we got picked to go to Ohio State. Mandy, our assistant, and I, we hate to say how many times we've played that golf course. We played it in college. You know, we've played it just for fun. We've coached it a million times, so we know that golf course like the back of our hands. And we've had three players that have played the golf course, and so that's just really helped us prepare, right? We know what shots the players are going to space. You know, to give you an example, there's very deep greenside bunkers at Ohio State. And so we've spent some more time working in that area and making sure every player feels really comfortable hitting a high soft bunker shot. Probably Sam and Ira's forte too, right? So, and deep rough. It's very similar grasses to what we have here in Michigan, and so that's really helped us to prepare too. So we know what to expect when we go down there, and honestly, like, there's a lot of southern teams and west coast teams that don't see the weather we're about to have, which is, you know, 55 to 60 degrees, and you know, we're used to that. So we're excited to be in that position and put our best foot forward next week.
Any other Big Ten teams in the field, Jan?
In this field, I believe it's Illinois and Nebraska are the other two at this one. But there's seven total throughout the country.
Gotcha. Well, again, familiarity, you know, obviously playing very well. So trending up, peaking at the right time as well. Both ingredients for success in the postseason, and hopefully that will be the case as the Wolverines are in the regionals of the NCAA down in Columbus. Action picks up coming up here on Monday. So, Jan, really appreciate you taking the time with us this morning to come and reflect upon the season, and we're going to be following you throughout. So this won't be the last time I'm going to have you on to give us some reflections as you guys continue play in the NCAA. So thanks a lot for your time, and good luck down in Columbus.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care. Go Blue.
That was Michigan women's golf coach Jan Dowling, who she said, hate to say, you know, we've been invited. Both you and I, Ira, have been invited to play down there in Columbus. Now, I probably should actually take them up, go down there and hack up their course a bit.
Yeah, that is a perfect place for you to go. That's a perfect place for you to go. She does bring up a really interesting point, though, because, you know, if you think about Michigan's going to play, in Columbus in any event, so a neutral thing. Michigan gets the NCAA tournament basketball invitation, right? And the closer sites for the first and second rounds are Columbus. And we're going, can we go somewhere else? Like, is Iowa open? Is Pittsburgh? Oh, like, you're looking at Kentucky. Like, you'd rather go somewhere else, right? Fans have an impact on situations like that. You don't have that situation here with golf, right? And Ohio's not even there, so it's not like you're facing them on their course. Mm-hmm. Michigan kind of is the most familiar team for that course, and there is something to that, right? That it's not the competition. It's not who you're playing. The only competition you really have in a golf tournament, at the end of the day, yes, your numbers have to stack up with everybody else's, but they're not playing defense on you. You might know what they're doing, so it might alter some of your shot selection is, because if you're a couple of strokes up or a couple of strokes down, your mentality might change a little bit. But like we talk about with Bev all the time, there's no defense in golf. There's no defense in gymnastics. You just have to go out there and play your best. And so being familiar with the course hopefully is an advantage for the Wolverines to get into the top six so they can advance, because that would be a really cool thing for this team.
Absolutely. And as you say, we played it a ton of times. We know where everything is. We know that course like the back of our hands. That sort of intel and knowledge from the coaching staff, you got to believe that's going to be a great, great advantage in this thing. I ultimately like, and she said the weather, you know, the weather too. A lot of these other teams just aren't going to be 55 to 60. We're like, that's nothing. But I guess for some of these other teams, Ira, that's like chilly. That's like cold to them. So,
oh, and Sam, do you know why Ohio State's not in the event?
No.
Because the Ohio State Women's Golf Program received a one-year postseason ban after it was determined that their head coach, Teresa Hessian, or Hesh, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, required her team to participate in countable athletically related activities beyond the NCAA's legislated daily and weekly hour playing season limitations. So, yeah, they Ohio State, the king of second-level NCAA violations. You know, their women's basketball team wasn't allowed to be invited to the NCAA. They didn't play in the Big Ten tournament, and they weren't in the postseason either because they also had their litany of secondary list of violations. It's amazing, though. Every program at Ohio State dominates in secondary violations, but the football team is clean, Sam.
Right. Football team, they can play in Big Ten tournament, you know, despite violations, or Big Ten championship games despite violations, right?
This is the microcosm of the NCAA. What is the old line? They're so mad at North Carolina that Cleveland State gets in trouble. Yeah, Ohio State's football program, they got to bury everybody else to keep the football program out of the news.
Yeah, exactly. Well said and stated, Mr. Weintraub. But good luck to Jan, to her team, as they have had a great season so far and pushing for it to be greater. And you mentioned a moment ago, you know, field hockey.
Right. So opportunity. Great opportunity to mention, just to run down all the postseason action and, for that matter, all the Mesa Blue action this weekend. But in the postseason, what we're focusing on the most, so golf starts on Monday, but at the NCAA level for postseason, the Final Four is today. The second-seeded Michigan field hockey team is facing third-seeded Louisville at 4 o'clock in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. The UNC is hosting the Final Four. It's on ESPN3, so if you can watch it online today. The earlier semifinal is at 1 o'clock. It's North Carolina versus Iowa. That's the 1-4. So the top four seeds all advance to the Final Four in field hockey. These are the four best teams from all season. And the championship game is Sunday on ESPNU at 7 p.m. So if Michigan can beat Louisville today, the game's at 4 o'clock, they will advance to the national championship game on Sunday at 7 o'clock. And Sam, last time I checked, this would be the second opportunity for the Wolverines to win not just a national championship, but a national championship in a women's sport in about a month. So we know how Michigan fans roll. If the Wolverines win today, the game's at 4 o'clock. We know that at 7 o'clock on Sunday, ESPNU is going to have a ton of Maize and Blue faithful watching because Michigan fans turn out when their teams are playing for championships. But we also have, Sam, the Michigan men's tennis team opening up NCAA tournament action this morning at 10 o'clock. They face Arizona in the first round down in Lexington, Kentucky. The winner advances to the second round tomorrow to face either Kentucky or Cleveland State. The women's tennis team, they're also in the first round of the NCAAs today. They face Rice. They're in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They face, as I said, Rice, and the winner of that will face either LSU or Boston University tomorrow at 2 p.m. in the second round. So that postseason action is going on as well. Plus, the baseball team is in East Lansing for a three-game series. The softball team's in the Twin Cities for a four-game series, a huge four-game series. And most, if not all those games, Sam, are on BTN for the softball series, I believe. So you
can
watch that as well.
Yeah, they're all on
BTN. All on BTN. And then the men's and women's track and field teams are also in action, just to throw it in there. They host the Paddock Open in Ann Arbor tomorrow. So a lot of action still going on, but mostly we're focusing on this postseason action, Sam, as we're getting to the nitty-gritty for these spring sports. It's the last two weekends of the regular season in softball, the last three or four weekends of the regular season. I cannot remember. I think there's actually four weekends left, including this weekend in baseball. I'd have to pull the schedule back up. But softball this weekend and next weekend are the last two weekends of the regular season. So they're down to their nitty-gritty in the regular season. And, of course, all this postseason action, field hockey today, tennis today, and hopefully tomorrow, golf starting on Monday. So postseason is here for the spring for most of these teams. And, of course, Sam will be following the Diamond teams down to the end.
Yeah, this is the first time this season that an entire Michigan series that we'll be able to watch it, at least on the Big Ten. I mean, you can see Big Ten Network or national television, Big Ten Network Plus, you could have watched an entire series. But thankful, as I said to Hutch yesterday, I didn't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but it's like, man, you got to fight to see the team. So this time, though, we'll be able to see every game, and this is the top two teams in the Big Ten. So exciting weekend of action all the way around for Michigan athletics. but Michigan softball at Minnesota, number 23 team in the country. That's going to be a knockdown, drag out pitching duel, right? So going to be fun to see and watch. A lot still to get to on today's show. We got John U. Bacon still to come. I want to get his take on this name, image, like, in case you missed it. Ira and I were laughing about this earlier in the show, just to preview what we're going to be getting into with John U. Bacon at the top of the hour. So this name, image, likeness legislation being put into play all over the country at the state level. NCAA, even though making rules, making and enforcing rules is literally their, you know, their purpose, they can't make up, they can't come up with rules on it, or at least they don't want to. They punt it to the federal government and say, please come up with some laws that will supersede these state laws. And all of the, most of the state laws that I've heard about have some stipulations that say, hey, if there's a law at the federal level that comes up, it will supersede this state law. That is indeed in play. And this new Georgia law that was signed in, this new Georgia bill that was signed into law yesterday by Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, and it is set to take effect July 1st, which is when, talk about the law in Mississippi, the law in Florida, those are also set to take a, you know, take effect at that time. And you got these schools in the South there, Jack, we don't want to lose a recruiting advantage to these other schools. And Brian Kemp was very out front with saying that, Ira, saying Georgia is going to win a national championship with one of these. This name, image, likeness, we don't want to be disadvantaged. I'm just my Southern draw. He did say he thinks that this is about Georgia winning a national championship.
Don't do that again, Sam.
Irish. Huh? What did you say?
Don't do that again, that accent again. Don't. Please.
Why? Because it's so accurate?
No. No.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Have you heard him talk? I did a spot on Brian Kemp, by the way. Spot on. Anyway, there's a stipulation in this bill, Ira, that allows for schools to take 75% of the compensation, of the name, image, likeness compensation that comes in to student athletes, and to redistribute it, you know, throughout the athletic department. Brian Kemp in Georgia signed this into law. Let me repeat that. Brian Kemp in Georgia signed into law a bill that would allow for schools to take up to 75% of the compensation that student athletes earned in a name, image, likeness capacity and redistribute it throughout the athletic department. Now, allows is the operative word here that, you know, some Georgia fans and Georgia officials are putting out there. I contend that other institutions from other states that have name, image, likeness bills are going to say, yeah, okay, they say that they aren't going to take up to 75%, but they're allowed to.
They can.
In the bill, they can. That's not even a possibility in our state. Do you trust them to not take some of your money? Why even take the risk? This is going to be very interesting, Ira, if the federal government doesn't come up with any superseding legislation by July 1st.
This will be a fun conversation to continue with our buddy John Bacon at the top of the hour. It's, as we were talking about this earlier, because when I first saw this yesterday, my immediate reaction was, well, they said that it's a possibility that the law allows it, but they're not going to do it, so it's not a big deal. But as you and I started talking about it, and you're like, yeah, just because they say it, I'm like, I'm thinking more through it. I'm like, man, there's somebody, whether he or she works in, I don't know what the government job would be, or if it's a lobbyist or whatever it is, but there's a closet Florida, there's a closet Alabama, or there's a closet Tennessee fan somewhere in there, because otherwise this would never happen, because this is nonpartisan. Nobody on the left, middle, or right. Nobody from Georgia, Georgia Tech, Georgia State, or any other school, Emory, or any other school in Georgia would actually, unless some of the small schools really think this would help them, and I just can't imagine that it would, This was some real, somebody slid this in and got it past the gatekeepers, I think. And they,
yeah, like if this law was in Vermont, you'd be like, okay, I see it in Vermont. Georgia? I'm just shocked.
Yeah, this defies all politics. This is why. This is not like somebody from one political side trying to like do something to the other political side, because in this case, I think all political sides are in agreement that NIL stuff is moving forward. This seems more like a rival to Georgia, but an out-of-state rival, right? It has to be out-of-state. It can't be Georgia Tech. It has an out-of-state rival that's saying, I'm gonna try to do this in the government bill. I'm gonna try to get this in the bill, and they did. Like, that's the only way this plays to me.
I mean, you gotta ask yourself, did he know that was in there? I'm just wondering.
We're gonna think a little more about this as we go to the break and talk about it with John Bacon. Sam, a real quick shout out to Derek. He's driving his daughter to school in St. Louis this morning. Shout out to Mackenzie. She listens every morning. So, good morning, Derek. Good morning, Mackenzie.
Good morning, Derek. Good morning. All right, we need to get to a break. We'll come back on the other side with our friend Matt Dejanovich, get a market update, and then we'll get to John U. Bacon. Stay tuned here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Tick.